journeys on Revolution Radio on freedomslips.com and simulcast with wolfspiritradio.com. Join JP, your tour guide today, on this journey of discovery from the known to the unknown in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth. Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, and welcome to Journeys with JP. I am very pleased tonight to welcome my guest. I last slightly spoke to him. I produced a radio show in 2012, which I played earlier on Wolf Spirit Radio. Of course, I was captivated, and I also have a friend who was involved in this project. So it's all kind of a really, for me, it's a personal pleasure, and for hopefully for everybody else, it'll be a very educational and expansive presentation. That today we're going to have a really nice, clear internet line. No problems getting across the pond. So, with my greatest pleasure, I introduce Dr. Samir Osmanagic. Good afternoon, Dr. Sam. How are you?
Hello, JP. I'm doing fine. I'm in Houston.
Houston! We don't have a problem today. Oh, you're sounding nice and clear and clean. And so how is Houston?
Just got back home last night. I was in Chicago over the weekend. We had a nice global pyramid conference. A lot of like-minded people. So obviously the time is to change the way they teach us about the ancient history.
Absolutely. And this is one of my personal quests, really, is to find out the true history of planet Earth, humanity, these ancient monuments that just seem to stand there as a monument or what. They have qualities, you know. If I turn my camera on and turn down at my music desk here, you'll see I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 pyramids here. Three made of shungite, one made of quartz, one made of organite, and a tetrahedron made of copper. So the whole pointy triangle thing is well up in my personal world. And yours are slightly larger. It is the biggest known pyramid in the world now, isn't it? The Bosnian pyramid. Oh, sorry, I'm really entitled to introduce people. Dr. Samir Osmanagic is the discoverer and presenter of the data known as the Bosnian Pyramid Complex. So, Dr. Sam, would you like to explain your project to people?
Yes, gladly. In the last 25 years, I've been investigating the pyramids and the ancient civilizations. My PhD is about the Mayan pyramids located in Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, and Belize. But I realized that the pyramids are built not only in Mesoamerica and Egypt. They had been built all over the planet. In China, 250 of them in the province of Shanxi. In Cambodia, northeastern part of the country. Western Java in Indonesia. 300 pyramids in Peru. Pyramids in Bolivia. 103 pyramids on Canary Islands, especially the biggest one, Tenerife. 224 in Sudan, 155 Egypt, 7 of them on the island of Mauritius. The pyramids even in Australia, smaller step pyramids. In Israel, 1 step pyramids. Southern France, 16 of them on Greek soil. Palencia pyramids in Spain. Shortly, the world of the past was the world of the pyramids. So, I was spending years and years investigating this phenomenon, and finally, in April of 2005, I'm coming to my country of Bosnia, from Houston, to visit the local museum in the central town of Visoko, just 30 minutes drive from the capital city of Sarajevo. And then I see this, what they call hill, covered by soil and vegetation and the forest, and I can see four sides, I see four triangular faces, I see four corners, I see the same slope from bottom to the top, obviously perfect geometrical shape. I'm taking compass, and compass is showing me that the sides of the pyramid perfectly match the cardinal points, east, west, north, south. And I immediately knew that this was not a natural hill, but artificial structure. But after thousands of years, it's been covered by soil and vegetation. Exactly the same case like in China, Mexico, or Guatemala. Of course, we know about Egyptian pyramids being in desert, but they are more south. No rain, no greenery. Same thing in Peru. But on this belt, from China via Bosnia to Mexico, we have so-called green pyramids. So, the year is 2005, and the first year I spending money doing geological core drilling, archaeological trenches, lab analysis. When I had enough proofs, I wrote my first book about the Bosnian pyramid discoveries. And finally, in October of 2005, I announced the news at the press conference in Sarajevo about the discovery of the first European pyramids.
So, now, when I was standing on the A303 in southern England, just about 3 miles from Avebury, there is a place called Silbury Hill.
Yeah.
And I had almost the same experience as that with Silbury Hill. I thought, just a minute. I'm seeing, that's not a round thing. That's a flat thing that's got kind of fuzzy and like moss on it. But that's got a slope on it. That's got, you know, and it's got sides. It had, you know, slightly flattened sides. And I thought, all right. So we got pyramids in England. So, to me, the idea of pyramids being all over the world is not a big deal anymore. And I think it's now coming to the rest of the world that pyramids are not a big deal. And here we come straight up against the big conspiracy, Dr. Sam, the conspiracy of Egyptology, that Egypt Yes. is the source of all of our history. And anything that strays outside of that must be shunned. You've experienced that, I know for certain, haven't I? Haven't you?
Well, you see, back in October 2005, I announced the news about the first European pyramids and the biggest on the planet. All of a sudden, the whole cultural establishment of Bosnia, Europe, and the world, mainstream, and independent scientists included, started talking against our project and me personally. I haven't even started with the digging. All of them were against me. Now, if you have a hypothesis that under the hill there is actually a structure, the only way to find out what is below is to dig. And guess what? I got permission to dig. I announced we're going to start in April of 2006. But 1 month before that, 23 leading Bosnian archaeologists, geologists, historians, museum curators signed a petition to the Bosnian government asking them not to let us dig. Well, we started digging. The Bosnian Prime Minister came. Under the 3 feet of soil, we were finding rectangular blocks.
Only 3 feet? That's brilliant. That's very lucky, isn't it?
Well, the matter of fact, in China and Mexico is the same thing. 3 to 4 feet of soil. That's it. Because of the erosion, you know, you don't have too much of the soil. So, we've analyzed the material from those blocks. They all told us the same thing. It was an artificially made concrete. Somebody called them geopolymer concrete. Or synthetic concrete. Well, the ancients, they used always natural materials. They did not have cement, they did not have plastic, they did not have artificial rubber, nor they needed it. They knew properties of natural construction materials. And when it comes to concrete, there is a way to determine the quality of the concrete. It's based on two elements. The first one is the hardness. Harder the concrete, the better the quality. The second one is the water absorption. Less on the water absorption, better the quality. Well, our concretes are in the range from 10 to 60 megapascals. The one that covers the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun is in the range from 73 to 134 megapascals, meaning better quality than what we can make today. So, we started finding the concrete blocks. The Bosnian Prime Minister came 10 years ago and he said, well, this is a man-made concrete. He saw hundreds of people coming to the site, said, well, this is good for the tourism and economy of Bosnia. Have in mind that it was 11 years after the war in Bosnia when economy was totally destroyed. So he told me, Mr. Osmanagic, keep digging. Don't worry about the jealous scientists who wants to stop you. We kept digging, but then the Bosnian archaeologist wrote to president of the European Archaeological Association, Dr. Anthony Harding. They asked his help to stop the project. So he started writing against us that this was the biggest hoax, there are no pyramids, that we don't know what we are doing, we don't have experts, we are damaging existing sites, and things like that without a single proof. Then he organized a second petition signed by his very good colleagues and friends, archaeologists from Germany, France, United Kingdom, United States, and they were saying that this should be stopped. Well, their petition was rejected. We kept digging, and not only that, we have opened the project for the non-professionals and professionals alike from all over the world. If you go to Egypt today, ask them what did they find so far digging under the Sphinx or in the tunnels under the Giza pyramids, they will tell you, oh, this is confidential. Why is it confidential? This is the cultural heritage that does not belong only to Egyptian Supreme Council of Antiquities. It belongs to all of us. The same thing with the Mexican or Chinese pyramids. So, from day one we said, the Bosnian Pyramid Project will be the most open project in the world. No elites, no hidden information, no selective science. So, we are really open to everyone, and that's the reason why we give this opportunity to volunteers to come to join us, dig with us, do measurements, do sample testing with us, lab analysis. Anyone can do independent analysis in our case, and they know they are part of the big discovery. Among those who were attacking us, of course, was Dr. Zahi Hawass, the guy who was in charge of Egyptology over there in Egypt for 20 years. He was doing everything to stop us. He was doing everything to boycott us in media because he was the guy who was asked by National Geographic and History Channel and Discovery Channel whether to produce episodes on Bosnian pyramids. He was always saying no, 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 because they wanted to keep this idea that everything started 5,000-6,000 years ago in Sumer and Egypt, and that is wrong. We just witnessed the last cycle of humanity starting in this area, but before this cycle there was another one, which was interrupted 12,500 years ago with what is known as the end of the last ice age or the big flood. But before that, there was another one 18,000, 30,000 years ago, 55,000, 75,000 years ago. So it's simply cycle after cycle, not evolution, as they try to convince us.
Absolutely. The idea that we started out as amoeba and kind of finally crawled our way out of the sea and all, it just seems too much of a struggle. Thank you, Dr. Sam. Where we were, we're looking at what is going on with the pyramids of the world. Now, to me, what a pyramid seems to be is many things. And one of the things that I'd like to discuss with you today is some of the many things that a pyramid is or can do from your experience and from my kind of mental laboratory, as it were. I've studied pyramids for many years. I used to build them out of copper and bronze and all that stuff. And, you know, meditated long and hard on them, like a lot of people have.
Yes.
But I've got a few data points that I've pulled together, and I'd like to throw them around with you, because you're probably one of the biggest pyramid experts in the world that has no tie to the to the powers that be's version of Egyptian history, or so-called Egyptian history, as you've just illustrated. So, with your permission, I would like to take you on a journey, or I'd like you to journey with me back into the true history of the pyramids. And, you know, we know that there's all sorts of academics who say this and all sorts of academics who say this, but you've learned something directly. You've had your hands on this thing for 20 years. You cannot come out uneducated by it. From my experience, building a pyramid is one of the most edifying spiritual experiences that you can do. You have to learn about geometry. You have to learn about plasticity, about geopolymer engineering, if you're going to make one out of this stuff. Now, I actually have a friend who is who is an expert in geopolymer. He runs a gunite machine, which you may be familiar with, which is the device that they use when they're making a tunnel. They spray concrete onto the wall to make a solid form to keep the structure up. And that's a gunite machine. You can, you know, you just basically spray a wall and it concretizes on the wall, becomes very hard. So for many years we've had this conversation about how do you think they made these pyramids? And he came up with the in terms of the limestone. He told me something that I didn't know that put everything in place. And you know, he's a lime expert. He's talking about lime all the time. He's just obsessed with it. And he said that when you burn lime, you heat it up, you take out the, what is it? I can't remember what you take out. You take out some part of it, the hydroxide, that then if you were to then add water to this powder, it then starts to reconstitute and absorb carbon dioxide from the air and becomes limestone. And I thought to myself, that's interesting, because the pyramids are made of limestone. So I said to him, how would you know if this stuff was this geopolymer that you're talking about? Like it's made by, it's powdered limestone that is then reconstituted. How do you know whether this stuff is there or not? And he said, well, it'd be easy to find out, because if you took a core sample, the fossils, the micro nano fossils that constitute this limestone, would all be on the bottom. And such is the case with the casing stones from the Great Pyramid. Now, having said that, I'm aware that the polymer that you're looking at, did you have a name for it? Is it, cause I heard that they made pyramids out of a material they called Everlast, which may be some kind of high density concrete. So number one, Dr. Sam, you're probably, of the idea that your pyramid blocks are, poured and shuttered and poured, as we say in the West, a framework is built and then a liquid polymer is poured in, it solidifies, and then they move on to the next block. Is that how you feel the Bosnian pyramid was created?
That would make a lot of sense, yes.
Because it would certainly make sense of the idea that there was You know, how do they get these blocks to fit so well? Well, if they're just molded one against the other, then they'll just fit in.
That's true. Exactly. I agree with that. And the Great Pyramid of Egypt was probably built that way. Over there, it's almost certain. Now, in archaeology, we have five questions. Number one is what? What is this? Number two is who, when, how, and why. Now, you mentioned pyramid, how to build one, the properties. During my work, I've established 10 scientific criteria to call something a pyramid. You know, number one, a pyramid has to have a geometry of the pyramid. Most of them out there are four-sided pyramids. In the case of Bosnia, we do have four triangular faces. The element number two is the construction material. In the case of Peruvian pyramids, we have adobe bricks. Guatemalan pyramids, we have shaped volcanic stone. In Mexico, we have sandstone and granite. In Egypt, like you said, limestone and granite. In Bosnia, we have this geopolymer concrete. The element number three is the orientation. In most cases, it is orientation to the cosmic north. All 250 Chinese pyramids are looking at the north. All old Egyptian pyramids, north. Most of the Peruvian, all Cahokia pyramids in the U.S. soil, north. So far, we thought that the best orientation to the north is the northern side of the Great Pyramid of Egypt, with the error of 0 degrees and 2 minutes. But in case of Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun, the biggest one over there, and we have five of them, the error, according to the State Institute for Geodesy, is 0 degrees, 0 minutes, and only 12 seconds, which is a fraction of 1 minute.
And this is to the, what we call the grid north, the actual point where the planet rotates around.
That is
axial north.
That is correct. The next element, the next criteria for the pyramids, inner passageways. We know that most of the pyramids have those passageways. In the case of Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun, you know, we found them on a georadar and other geophysical screening. Number five, underground tunnels. Until 4 years ago, the mainstream science was denying that there are tunnels under the pyramids, but in the meantime, they have been found under all the Egyptian pyramids, and the Chinese pyramids, and the Mayan pyramids, and the Teotihuacan pyramids. And in Bosnia, we have the most extensive prehistorical underground tunnel complex ever built under any pyramid. The next element, astronomical features. We know that some pyramids, like those on Canary Islands or Island of Mauritius, they have their size oriented to the summer solstice, sunrise. In the case of summer solstice, very important date for the ancients. In the case of Bosnian pyramids, we can watch when the sun gets up, we can see the shadow of the sun pyramid in the valley. As the sun moves on horizon, this shadow moves towards the moon pyramid. And during the summer month, this shadow covers the moon pyramid at the sunset.
Ah, lovely.
Now, yes. Now, the next element, sacred geometry. Now, we know, for example, that in the case of Great Pyramid of Egypt, the number pi, 3.14, is incorporated. When you take the length at the base, which is 231 meters, so two lengths, 231 times 2, 462, divided by the height of the pyramid, 147 meters, the result is 3.14. Now, historians are telling us that 4,500 years ago, when they think that this Great Pyramid of Egypt was built, and of course it was built much, much before, over 12,000 years. But they are saying 4,500 years ago, people did not know about the number pi. Only 2,000 years later, with the ancient Greek mathematicians, you know, it was discovered. But the number pi is there. In a similar fashion, we can get to number 1.618, which is golden mean, golden cut. So, these are irrational numbers, So no, they don't have final value, you know, like number pi is 3.14159265358 billions of digits. And for the ancients, they were alive. So when they assign them to the pyramid, they're saying the pyramid is alive. Besides those numbers, shapes are also very important. Equilateral triangle, for example, it is part of the sacred geometry. In the case of the Bosnian pyramids, three most important pyramids, the sun, moon, and dragon, when we connect their tops, from the top of the sun to the top of the moon, 2,180 meters, or about 1.3 miles, when we go from the moon to dragon, 2,180, from dragon to the top of the sun, 2,180 meters. So we are getting this equilateral triangle, which is perfect geometrical shape, and as such, part of the sacred geometry. And when you have sacred geometry, you have the movement of the energy. The next element, also very important, so-called volcanic lines. If you have two volcanoes, and you connect them in the line, and then you extend this line, and if you have at the end of this line some of the temples or pyramids or megalithic site, then we can say that this megalithic site is on the volcanic line. So, for example, there is a place in Zimbabwe called Great Zimbabwe, a huge, you know, megalithic wall over there. There are 8 volcanic lines leading to Great Zimbabwe. Then Nazca lines, famous Nazca lines in southern Peru. There are 10 volcanic lines leading to Nazca lines. Then famous pyramid in Chichen Itza in Mexico, so-called Kukulcan pyramid. There are 26 Nazca lines. Then Jerusalem, you know, holy place, 16 Nazca lines. Göbekli Tepe, 12,000 years old temple in eastern Turkey, 18 volcanic lines. So it seems that the ancients knew how to find those important places. Why is volcanic line so important? Because, you know, you got the lava, you got the minerals, you got the energy movement, so energy place. In the case of the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun, we have 26 volcanic lines leading to the Bosnian Pyramid and having the Bosnian Pyramid at the end of the line. Now, 12 of those lines have 2 volcanoes, the line. But 14 lines have 3, 4, or 5 volcanoes on the same line. So this is not a coincidence. The next important element or criteria for the pyramids is so-called energy potent place. Of course, volcanic lines are important, but in the case of Bosnia, this location criteria is important because we discovered that below the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun and below the Valley of the Pyramids in Bosnia, we have iron ore. Why iron? Because iron generates natural electromagnetic fields. The next energy form, we have a lot of underground water flows. So when you have two parallel underground water at different depths, in between electricity is generated. The next thing, water moves, it releases negative ions. The next thing, of course, you have natural magnetism. So, the Bosnian pyramids, what they actually do, they suck all these different energy types, amplifying them. How do we know that the pyramid amplifies the energy? Two of our Russian colleagues, Professor Avroshkin and Professor Tsiplakov from the Schmidt Institute from Moscow, were measuring the strength of the signal at the base of the pyramid in Bosnia and close to the top. At the top, it was 50 times stronger. So our conclusion is that the pyramid is actually energy amplifier. It does not make energy from nothing, but it was locating at the right place, above energy potent spots. So, once you have those 9 or 10 criteria fulfilled, what is the result? The result is that the pyramid becomes an energy machine or energy amplifier. Now, we've done more experiments, and we know that the Bosnian Prima di Sun, through its very top, emit an energy beam. And this is one energy flow that we can measure in the pyramid. The second one is the energy flow within the pyramid in the form of the circle. Interestingly enough, this energy flow moves to the one-third of the height, hitting the walls, coming back, going to two-thirds of the height, coming back to one-third, and then going down, the base completing the circle. And guess what? The king's chamber and the queen's chamber, in the case of the Great Pyramid of Egypt, are exactly on the way of this energy flow. So they are exposed to this energy flow. And the third energy movement is the one that goes off the pyramid in the concentric circles on the surface, affecting agriculture or affecting the whole society with the pyramid energy. These are three different types of the energy that a pyramid really creates and amplifies. So now we realize that the oldest pyramids that are biggest at the same time and the most superior, telling us that the knowledge has been brought. So the oldest pyramids were actually used as the energy machine. So they were not built for one dead body, that one of the king or the family.
Oh, yes.
But they are built for the living communities to last thousands of years.
Absolutely. So, Dr. Sam, so excellent. Thank you for laying those data points out. Now, if I may add a couple more, because... Yeah. All right. So one of the things that I've been interested in many years is music. And I play the guitar and I've learned to understand the relationship of size and harmony. Do you play music at all?
No, I listen to music.
Okay. Well, there is a phenomenon on the guitar. If you ever picked up a guitar and if you were to touch the strings lightly at certain places, you hear a very nice tone. It's called a harmonic. Let's make a ping sound. This you may or may not know, but if you were to touch the string at exactly the halfway point, you get what's known as the octave, the first harmonic. And if you touch the string at one third of the way along, you get the second harmonic, which is also known as the perfect fifth. So harmonically, there is a relationship between the length of the string and the one-third of the string. Now, that means that the point where that vibration is at that maximum, that's where the king's chamber is.
Mm.
There's another data point for you, sir.
Interesting.
Isn't it?
I like that.
So yeah. If you were to take a string and run it to the top of from the top of the pyramid and drop it all the way down, down below until as if there was another pyramid underneath the ground pointing downwards and there was a string that was strung between them, then that harmonic point would be where the king's chamber would be and the octave point, which is the center of it, would be where the queen's chamber would be. Now, please, the next data point is around water. I posed the question last week. I was producing the show I was just relaying it, with Sean David Morton. You appeared briefly last week. And I asked him to ask you a question about water. So I'd like to go deeply into the water, if you like. Because yes. I think it's very, very, very pertinent to what the pyramid is in my humble. Okay, thanks.
Well, it is. As a matter of fact, one element that I missed was the water. And we know now that all the biggest pyramids are always built by the rivers in Egypt, in China, in Mexico, Bosnia. In Bosnia, we have two major rivers in the town of Visoko, and they are called River Fojnica and River Bosna, which is the largest river in Bosnia. And secondly, there are a lot of underground water flows. Now, I'll explain briefly about the electricity and the water and the negative ions. But what we have learned is that if you expose the water to the pyramid energy, it changes its molecular structure. Now, we've done a lot of experiments then, a lot of testing with the Bosnian pyramid water. First, what you do convention analysis, you go to Institute for Public Health, and they can do physical, chemical, microbiological analysis. And basically what they tell you is that the water does not have viruses, bacteria. They tell you about pH factor, and then, you know, basically they tell you if you can drink, if it is drinkable, if it is clean, clear, and so on. But then we've gone much further. Namely, among other things, we sent samples to Japan, to the late Professor Masaru Emoto. He has become very popular in the last 15 years by doing experiments with the water. He was taking different samples from different places, and then he was doing he was filming the molecular structure of the water. And then he realized that the different waters, let's say from the contaminated lake or rivers, have a different structure than the clean water, which is logical. Or the water which you expose to beautiful music, Mozart or Beethoven, they form beautiful, a little bit different molecular structure. Or to heavy metal music, that one does not look so good. Or if you have a Buddhist priest and he has this mantra about love for 1 hour and he recites this mantra in front of the water will change, its molecular structure will become very beautiful. Or if you tell water that you hate it, then it will become very ugly. So, what we did, we sent the samples of Visoko's, that's the name of the town, we have pyramids of Visoko. We sent 2 samples. One sample was the city water. And as we know, the city water in Sarajevo, in New York, in Houston, in London, it's always the same thing. And we have a lot of chlorine, we have traces of heavy metals, this water goes to the metal pipes. So once we have it in our kitchens, it's energetically dead. So, we send the first sample and they analyze city water, and of course it looks bad, irregular in shape. But then the Bosnian pyramid water, when we receive the results, it looked beautiful, energetically alive. It forms regular hexagonal shape and a crystal-like structure. Obviously that water was energetically alive. It was a happy water. And then, among other analysis, we used what Dowsers called the Bovis scale. That's the scale of the energy level. On this scale, for example, healthy human is about 6,500 Bovis. If we are tired, it's about 6,000 Bovis. If we are sick, 5,500. But if we are energetically light, about 8,000. If we eat raw vegetables, no pesticides, organic food, 10,000. If we drink freshly squeezed orange juice and fruit juice, 12,000. If we are spiritually advanced, 14,000. If we can heal with the touch, 15, 16,000. So this is the Bovis scale. On this scale, the water that we drink at home, our kitchen water, or the water that we buy in the stores, Walmart, you know, those plastic bottles, it's about 3,500 Bovis. So now imagine, we are 8, 10, I am, for example, 18,000 Bovis, and we drink 3,500. Now, the Bosnian pyramid water is at 27,000 Bovis. So it vibrates much higher than what you are finding in our, you know, technological, you know, life and everything, you know, what we do to with our civilization. So, the point is, something is happening with the pyramid. Pyramid creates pyramid energy that improves the molecular structure, in this particular case water, but everything else also. Our Russian colleagues, they are doing the experiments. 2 groups of mice. One group, they were giving the regular kitchen water. The other one, they were giving the pyramid water. And then they injected deadly bacteria, Salmonella. And the testing group, which was given the, you know, city water, their survival rate was at 0%. They all died. And the group that was receiving a pyramid water, their survival rate was at 40%. Just based on pyramid water. So, it seems that there is a direct connection between the properties of the water and the pyramid energy, and the pyramid obviously can make some type of the healing water. So when we realized that 3 years ago, people were saying, okay, you're running this project in Bosnia, the Bosnian Pyramid Project, you don't have any funding from the government, why don't you start bottling and selling that water? And that's exactly what we did. But before that, we've done more experiments. We were using a technology developed by a Russian professor, Korotkov, from University of St. Petersburg. And he has instruments based on a GDV process, gas discharge visualization. He can measure human aura, stuff like that. So we were testing people when they drink water inside a tunnel, which is about 100 feet below the ground. You have the best effect. But if you catch this water in the plastic bottle, as we use them today, clear plastic bottle, you go outside. The moment you take it outside, it loses 50% of its good properties. And we realized, first, not to use plastic. Second, you have to have dark colored glass, either dark brown, dark blue, or dark green. So we've been bonding this water, and we sell it only in front of the entrance to the underground tunnels under the pyramids as a Bosnian pyramid souvenir. Some people can appreciate this water. Some people say, hey, why are you selling the water? Well, this is what we have. And finally, talking about water, we have one of our volunteers from England. His name is Nigel, about 58 years old. And he had the problem, his eyes, they were very dry. So he would go to pharmacies, getting those eye drops, putting the eye drops, but no results. And then he was using Bosnian pyramid water. One day, three times, next day, he was fine, problem resolved.
The healing properties of the pyramid water.
Yes.
Structured by the counter-rotating. Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing. I believe it goes deeper than this. And it takes us all the way back. Hang on, let's just play my way back jingle. There we go, even further back, further back, further back. A little bit further back. Yeah, all the way back. All right, now. I don't care what any other people say about the age of the pyramids. All right? What is your knowledge of this? And tell us about the seagull.
Yeah. Now, everything we do, we apply scientific methodology in the case of Bosnian Pyramid Project. When we think about the age, if you have in front of you structure which is covered by soil, one indirect way to get the minimum age of the structure below the soil is to analyze the very soil. So, the science that investigates the origin of soil is called pedology. In Bosnia, we have Institute for Pedology. They took samples from the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun and the Moon Pyramid. They told us that the age of the soil is between 12 and 15,000 years, meaning the structure below is much older than that. And then, when we were removing the layers of soil and the clay above the structure, on the surface, we found a piece of the fossilized leaf. It was on the surface, so it means that the structure was already there. When the wind brought this leaf, it was covered by dust and soil, it remained there. It got fossilized. We've done radiocarbon analysis in two different institutes, They told us the age of the leaf was 24,800 years, plus minus 200 years. So now we go back 25,000 years before present, and this is still the minimum age of the structure. So finally, in 2013, our team led by Timothy Moon from New Zealand, our archaeological manager, discovered two fossilized leaves below the first layer of concrete and above the second row of concrete. So it was like in between, like in the sandwich. Now those two fossilized leaves will give us the precise age of the structure. Why I'm saying that? Because obviously the builders were laying the first row, the second, the third. The wind brought more leaves. And then once they put the final row blocks, those leaves remained there, but they were there since the structure was built. So we did radiocarbon dating, and it took us back 29,200 years, plus minus 400 years. So almost 30,000 years. Now, this is radiocarbon date. In order to get the calibrated date, or the calendar age, we consulted some of the American experts. Dr. Paul LaViolette is the astrophysicist. He came to Bosnia, analyzed it, and he told us that we have to add another 15% to the radiocarbon age to get the precise age of the building, and it's taking us back 34,000 years. Now, we have a scientific, exactly, more and more. We have a scientific proof that the Bosnian pyramids are 34,000 years old. So, the history on this planet is only 5,000-6,000 years. So, it is not what they've been telling us, that before that it was only the primitive cavemen, but now we know that dozens of thousands of years in the past, we did have very advanced civilizations who are capable of building pyramids. The Sun Pyramid has 18 million tons of material. Its height, 720 feet plus, and the Cheops is 475. The second largest, the Bosnian Pyramid of the Moon, over 600 feet, the network of tunnels runs for dozens of miles. So we have a huge complex. So it was, of course, genius construction feat, but this is not all. That was just the answer to first question in archaeology. What is this pyramid complex? And the second one, when? Now, when we go through other two, who and how, and get to the fifth one, what was the purpose? Now, this is where it gets really interesting. I did mention the case with the water. I mentioned the pyramid energy. But now, is this energy measurable? Of course it is. We had teams of experts and the real scientists, not archaeologists or Egyptologists or geologists who talk, but the scientists with the scientific instruments, physicists, electrical engineers, sound engineers. For example, we had a team from Zagreb led by physicists Slobodan Mizrak, and they were measuring electromagnetic field. First, on nearby hills, no anomalies, but when they came to the very top of the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun, in the radius of 13 feet, they detected and measure electromagnetic field of 28 kilohertz frequency. They got out of this radius, no measurements. They went back in, the measurement was there. It meant that this electromagnetic field does not go left or right on the surface of the pyramid, but it goes up as the energy beam, electromagnetic in nature.
Okay. And that, Dr. Simeals Maligic, is the big nub of the thing, because a certain period of time ago, other pyramids were seen to have these beams beaming out the top of them. Now, one of the, here's a couple of questions that arise from this. Now, the Pyramid of the Sun, were they all making this beam?
Just the top we measured. We measured also on the top of what we call the tumulus.
Mm-hmm.
It's close by, also artificial, but conical hill.
Yeah.
You mentioned there are some other cases. I'm aware of that. We are talking about the Kukulcan Pyramid in Chichen Itza in Mexico, when the tourist from El Salvador was filming his family, and he filmed energy beam going through the top of the Kukulcan Pyramid, and the Pyramid of the Moon in the city of pyramids, Teotihuacan, near Mexico City. However, we are the only one who actually measured this beam scientifically. So, after this guy from Croatia, Mizrak, we had another team from Serbia, electrical engineer Goran Marjanović, he confirmed this measurement. And then we had another team from Finland, sound engineer Heikki Savolainen, got the same results, and anthropologists from Italy, University of Trieste, Professor De Bertolis, they all confirmed the presence of 28 kilohertz electromagnetic beam. So, in science, when you have four independent teams, who come at four different times, who bring four different equipment, and they all got the same results, it is called an independent international scientific verification of the phenomenon. Which phenomenon? This energy beam going through the top of the pyramid, 28 kilohertz frequency, which is focused and which is continuous. We know that because we measure it during the spring and the fall and the winter and the summer. Mother Nature does not make hills with four sides, triangular faces, perfect orientation to cardinal points, and with the energy beam on its very top. You have to have an energy machine for that. So our conclusion, the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun is not only the largest pyramid on the planet, but the oldest energy machine that has been working continuously for 34,000 years as the first perpetual motion machine on the planet.
Built to last, I tell you, built to last. They don't make them like they used to, do they? Fantastic. So, look, so here's the thing. 28 kilohertz, what's the wavelength of that, and what would be an antenna that would be the equivalent wavelength?
Oh, that's a good question. So we have 28,000 hertz, 28,000 hertz. In order to get this 28,000 hertz, you have to have a source of the electromagnetism which is close to 1.4 miles away. Three labs, Croatia, Serbia and Austria, told us that below the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun, we have to have an iron plate or iron ore that I mentioned before, 1.3 miles below the pyramid in order to get this particular frequency.
Well, you were talking before about the magma. There would be a source of your iron.
It is very possible. And now, we have electromagnetism, but we have, JP, a lot of quartz crystal.
Yes.
On top of the pyramids, in the tunnels. And why is that important?
I know why it's important, and I'm going to go there. I want to go there, so please, go there.
So when electromagnetism hits quartz crystal, then there is a process which engineers know as the piezoelectrical effect, which generate ultrasound of 28 kilohertz frequency. Now, ultrasound is something that we cannot hear. What we can hear is in the range from 10 hertz to 20 kilohertz. Above 20 kilohertz is the ultrasound. Ultrasound is the mechanical vibration. Now, we cannot hear, we can measure it. So, what we measure when it comes to this electromagnetic beam is the presence of ultrasound, which also goes to this electromagnetic beam. And then we were measuring the strength of the electromagnetism, of the signal. And we realized that when we were on the top of the pyramid, but on the ground, that we had certain strength. We lifted the antenna for about 10 feet. It was stronger signal. We lifted for another 10 feet. Stronger signal. We sent drone 300 feet above the top of the pyramid, even stronger. Now, the physicists were looking, they said, well, it is very hard to explain because our technology, which we can call Hertzian technology, is based on different principle, which says closer to the source of the energy, the signal is stronger. If you move away, the signal is getting weaker and weaker and weaker and finally disappears. So what we have on the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun is something opposite. Let's call that non-Hertzian phenomenon. And in 21st century, we do not have a technology based on non-Hertzian waves. However, the gentleman who was born only 200 miles to the west from the Bosnian pyramids was experimenting in his lab with this particular technology.
We all know who you're talking about, don't we?
Yes, the year is 1899, and his lab was in Colorado Springs. That was Nikola Tesla.
Yay! Hurrah for Tesla, yes.
Yes, so Tesla invented this transformer with which he was able to send, you know, electromagnetic signals from one end of his lab to another one, 55 feet away, wirelessly. And he was able to light up light bulbs, even if they were burned. And just before they are going to burn down his lab,
Dr. Sam, we're up against a hard break. Please stand by for a few minutes while these people shout at us, and then we'll be back. Please continue. This is so fascinating. Thank you very much. Don't go away. Finally, we're back. Yay. This is Journeys with JP, with your host JP, and tonight I'm talking with Dr. Samir Osmanagic. Actually, Dr. Sam, could you just run us, is there a, do you have a tutorial on exactly how to pronounce the right rhythm of your name? Because I'm saying Osmanagic, but it's...
You're fine. Dr. Sam Osmanagic is fine.
So, now, we were talking before the break so rudely interrupted us, about the, frequency, specifically of 28 kilohertz, 28,000 cycles a second, which is, to us, ultrasonic, beyond our, ability to hear. Now, also, you're talking about a beam of electromagnetic, magnetoelectric, or sound.
Yes, electromagnetic and ultrasound, both of them. Electromagnetism is one thing. Of course, the sound is a mechanical wave. Another thing. And between them, we got the quartz crystal and piezoelectrical effect.
Okay.
And also, we connected our research with the Nikola Tesla's work, a genius, 120 years ago. In his lab, he had a transformer. He was sending energy beams. The last one he sent was to the ionosphere around our planet. This beam, when he gets the reflected coming back to Colorado Springs, much stronger non-Hertzian effect. And then he lit up 10,000 homes in Colorado Springs. So for the first time, one scientist in our civilization cycle has proven that clean energy was possible, that unlimited quantities of energy were possible, that the non-Hertzian phenomenon was possible, that wireless transportation of energy was possible, and finally, that free energy was possible. Have American corporations accepted this invention? Of course not. How would J.P. Morgan, who was financing Tesla's work, sell the free energy and make money? Instead, he cut the funding for Tesla and started investing money with his colleagues, billionaires, to hydro, thermal, nowadays nuclear power plants, spending a lot of money, building very expensive transformers, building a very expensive cable line, losing 20 to 50% of the energy along the way, so they can sell it to us and users for a lot of money.
And also pollute our environment, use up resources in making enormous amounts of, you know, people talk about, you know, we've got to get electricity everywhere. Have you any idea, people, of the amount of resources it takes to make the cables? You don't think about it. They're made of aluminum. And if you mine aluminum, it makes fluoride and fly ash, and they got to dump it somewhere, and that's what they're dumping in your sky. Okay, so that's journeying on, getting a little bit of a rant there. However, Nikola Tesla, he had his Wardenclyffe Tower. Now, what I'm thinking is that the Wardenclyffe Tower globe was analogous to the tip of the pyramid. It had to be up in the air in order to create a potential difference between the top and the bottom. Am I correct?
Now, JP, excellent.
I've been studying this stuff and I'm paying attention.
Tesla built his Wardenclyffe Tower in his mature age and, you know, in the state of New York. And, he did only one experiment with the Wardenclyffe Tower. And then after that, you know, it became such a dangerous thing to have it that, again, they cut the funds for him. But with this one experiment, he concluded that he had found means to transport huge, unlimited quantities of energies, thousands of horsepower, between two planets, regardless of distance. And he was saying that the interplanetary communication will become the major, the most important thing for the human civilization, and it will certainly come one day. And guess what was the frequency the Wardenclyffe Tower operated? 28 kilohertz.
So
this is direct link between the Bosnian pyramid of the sun, where we measure today electromagnetic beam of 28 kilohertz and Tesla's work. Now, we know one thing. The free energy will become available to all of us sooner or later. And that will be the first pillar of the free society. And the second pillar will be the free flow of knowledge. And based on those two pillars, we will have society of free women and free men. Amen.
That's what we're looking for, is the free society. And we need to be free of the dark influences and all of that stuff, which is in hand. Which is why we're here talking about pyramids, because once things are cleared, the pyramids are going to come back on. And we're going to need people to drive them, like yourself. You know how to drive this pyramid. I would sense that you have a sense that you know how to drive this thing, right?
You realize, JP, in order to understand the pyramids,
mm-hmm.
it's not enough just to have it through the scientific aspect. And what we do, it is interdisciplinary scientific aspect, unlike Egyptologists working on their pyramids, unlike Chinese, Peruvian, German, or American archaeologists. They are very jealous. They are guarding the pyramids all over the planet. In our case, we said, no, it has to be open. We have to get, you know, experts, different profiles. So, one aspect, interdisciplinary scientific aspect. The second aspect, pyramids are energy machines. So we need experts in energy phenomena. The third aspect, the spiritual aspect. Not spiritual in a sense religious, but spiritual in a sense developing the spiritual senses so we can sense beyond the physical dimension. And we all have those abilities. In 21st century, we are talking about the five physical senses and the one spiritual sense, which we broadly call the sixth sense. However, the ancients knew that besides five physical, we had abilities for at least 30 spiritual senses. First of all, every physical sense has its own counterpart on spiritual level. So, instead of this very short, narrow range that we can hear, or that we can see, or that we can feel, we should have it much, much wider in spiritual realm. Besides those first five spiritual senses, the sixth sense could be, for example, ability to exchange the thoughts between two humans, or telepathy. And this is the perfect way of communication. The next one, telekinesis. We can move things, we can shape things, we can lift things just with the power of our mind. The next one, we can see other people's aura, bioenergy field. Right now we can see just the physical body. But if we practice, we could see the first field, which is, you know, light field around the body. With the time, we can see the second and the third and the fourth and all the way to the seven fields around our bodies. And then we can see the colors, different colors in our aura, in other spiritual sense. We can read the messages from our bioenergy fields. And if there is a problem, if there is a leak, if the aura is missing, we can add some of our energy or some energy from the nature, from the trees, and we fix somebody. Or we can call this process energy healing, in another sense. And the next thing, also very important, if you have an energy machine that produces energy field which is strong enough, then you can move right through this energy field, and we call that teleportation. You move in the space and in the time. And guess what? At one point, when the pyramids were originally built, before the end of the last ice age, when our mother planet was much, much stronger, when the natural energy sources were much stronger, when the pyramid was generating much stronger energy fields, it is very possible that that was one of the purposes, to move through those fields. Now, obviously that this third aspect, the spiritual aspect, is very important. And I realized it is not only the pyramid energy, but also when you go to other megalithic sites, sites with the erected stone blocks, megalithic circles in England, like Stonehenge or Avebury, which you mentioned, or Karnak in Western France, or Ermenshög in Sweden. They're all over the planet. So, people are using the energy of those circles. And the third source, the high concentration of the stone balls. A lot of stone balls, about energy put in place. Again, energy field is generated. So the ancients were smart. They were taking their kids near those sites, megalithic sites and the pyramids. And they were utilizing this energy. So they developed spiritual senses in their kids. So instead of what we do today, we give them the book and tell them, okay, now you need to learn when Napoleon was born, what fights he fought, and then you have a test, you do the test, the next moment you forget all about, you know, Napoleon and all about the history, all about the man. Well, imagine that we can travel through time and we actually see the moment when Napoleon was, you know, fighting those wars, or see any other event. That would be much cooler. But that would make us completely free. We would not need elites, political, religion elite, or corporate elite to tell us what to do. We would not need to rely on them. The problem today, we rely on them because of the fear. Your fear to lose the job, to lose the mortgage, to lose the car or the home, or to lose the loved one. Fear is everywhere. Imagine the society without fear. If we knew, and with the spiritual abilities, yes, we would know that we are forever, that our soul is there forever, of course, physical body for 1 year, but the soul is there forever, then the fear would disappear. So now we have connection between the pyramid energy, our spirituality, and a different way to organize the society. So, Bosnian pyramids and different view of other pyramids in the world is not just another archaeological discovery from distant past, but we have a source of knowledge to change our present for better.
Absolutely. So, coming back to the frequency. Now, here's more data points that I've gathered over the years. In the Great Pyramid of Giza, there is what we call the King's Chamber, and there is the thing that we call the sarcophagus. And then there is this other thing called the Ark of the Covenant. And there are certain properties that they all had. Not only that, here are some more data points for you, that I'm pretty sure you're aware of, is that, I don't know where the story comes from, but that the pyramid was originally wrapped in gold wire, in two, phased arrays. And, my belief is that these long shafts that go down the Giza pyramid are, connecting the cable runs for the cables that, for the two, coils. Basically, the pyramid had two phased coils next to each other, running up and one running down, that could, move the field around like a harp, by adjusting the phase. And the phase was the thing that we call the Ark of the Covenant generated that wave. So I'm wondering if anything like that has been found intact in any other pyramid, or am I just talking a kind of gibberish?
15 years ago, Chris Dunn issued a book called Giza Power Plant. And he was using a lot of details that you mentioned right now. The idea is that the Great Pyramid of Egypt is actually a huge power plant. Now, in our case, since we have access to the pyramids in Bosnia and the tunnels, and we can do all kinds of measurements, we don't have limits by Egyptian government or any other bodies. Now, what we have measured so far, besides electromagnetism in the dimension, and we've done some experiments, why 28 kilohertz? The ancient builders wanted to get this very specific frequency. Now, the communication was one of the reasons. I did mention energy beam, which is getting stronger as it moves away from the pyramid. So now, imagine this beam is getting stronger, going through our ionosphere, then going through our solar system, then going to some other solar system, hitting some other planet, establishing the energy bridge between two planets. Now, through this energy bridge, at least temporarily, you can send vibrations, you can send sounds or ultrasounds, you can send information. So, the pyramid this way becomes a very powerful communication device. The next question, if our pyramid in Bosnia is point A, where is the point B? And who is at point B? So it seems that in Bosnia, we, and I say we, I mean a non-profit, non-government foundation called Archaeological Park Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun Foundation, established by myself and by a lot of enthusiasts in Bosnia, a lot of volunteers, that we've been scientifically proving that there was an advanced civilization in the past who used our planet as an important point. Now, this is one of the uses, and obviously Tesla's using the same frequency, 28 kilohertz, knew exactly why he was using this telecommunication frequency. This is not all. American Ralph Frink was experimenting with ultrasound frequencies, 21 kilohertz, 22, 23, When he came to 28 kilohertz, he had a ping pong ball, a table tennis ball, above the sound speaker. At this frequency, which is very high, we cannot hear it, very high, the ball started going to the air. It started levitating. He went to the bed, leaving the machine on. He came back next morning. The ball was still in the air. So, Ralph Ring discovered a frequency of the levitation. Or, to be more precise, he rediscovered the frequencies that the Bosnian pyramid builders were aware of 34,000 years ago. And this is not all. In our body, we have two types of liquids. One is called the blood. Blood goes through our body, and the other one is the brain liquid, which is separated from the blood, and it is only around our brain. Why is it separated? Because with the blood, you know, we won't be able to get all the viruses and bacteria to our brain. And there is something called BBB, brain-blood barrier. The frequency of 28 kilohertz open up this barrier. So, why is that important? Well, in our body, we know even physically that very close to our heart, there is something called salt. So it is in our physical body. And over there, in our head, we have our brains. So, spiritual, physical reality. So once we remove this blood-brain barrier, then we are able to develop all our abilities to full potential. In order to do that, we have to have perfectly safe and secure environment to live of all the microbes. How can you do that? Well, the barrier for the microbes is called negative ions. If you have a high concentration of negative ions, as the medical science know, you know, they clear the atmosphere from dust, they raise the level of oxygen, and they kill viruses and bacteria. More negative ions, better for us. In your studio, in my office right now, we have very low concentration of negative ions because we are surrounded by all these computers, technology, phones, stuff like that. About 100 negative ions per cubic centimeter. But if you go outside, in my case, downtown Houston, 400 negative ions, it's a little bit fresher. But then if you go 100 miles from here out to the village, 800. If you are by the river, 1500. If you're on the top of the mountain in the forest, 4,000. Beautiful. In the Bosnian pyramid tunnels, we have 40,000 negative ions per cubic centimeter, which is extremely healthy, healing environment. So, it is not good for the microbes, but it is very good for this frequency of 28 kilohertz. It's excellent for us to develop our spiritual ability. And I mentioned levitation. We have people sitting in those Bosnian pyramid tunnels. They're coming from Peru, Brazil, New Zealand, Australia, Norway, US, Canada, Jordan. We ask them after 1 hour how they feel. They will tell you light because of this frequency. We cannot hear it. We don't, but our body feels it. So now we are coming to the fourth aspect of our project. The first one was scientific, the second one energy, the third one spiritual, and the fourth one is the healing aspect. What is the most precious thing for us? Health. We want to stay healthy with prolonged life. And the pyramid energy is giving us exactly that. We have noticed when people come to our pyramid tunnels, by the way, this network is running for miles and miles. But the interesting thing is, when I discovered it back in 2005, all these tunnels were filled with the material, but it was just the entrance which people considered a natural cave. But even in those first 15, 20 feet, I could see that the ceiling of one of the narrow tunnel was half radius. I said, this is not natural. We started clearing from the filler material. And then we find one tunnel to the left, one to the right, we find drywalls, we find intersections, We've been finding chambers, five so far. We realize we have a huge network of prehistoric tunnels. And people going deeper, they are breathing better and better. Not very logical, but nothing in the country of Bosnia is logical. And the level of oxygen, always the same, 20.5%. The temperature, always the same, winter, summer. So, we noticed that people are giving us the testimonies. For example, people with asthma, they would breathe so good, they go outside, they don't need inhalators, air pumps no more. People with the pains in their back, pains are gone. People with the high blood pressure gets normalized. People with the high sugar in the blood, high glucose, it gets normalized. We are looking for scientific explanation. And the first one was high concentration of negative ions, which you can measure. And we do measure it every day, three times a day at different spots, which is scientific methodology. The second thing, we walk on the surface of the planet. And we love this planet. We love the blue sky. We love the moon and the stars, so romantic. However, a lot of cosmic radiations coming our way from the universe, and some of them being very harmful. Our body cells fight them. They fight those enemies, those cosmic radiations. Well, guess what? 100 feet below the ground in Bosnian pyramid tunnels, no harmful cosmic radiations. And the element number three, negative ions, cosmic radiation. Element number three, natural radioactivity. Coming from the underground. We walk on the surface. We are not aware that in some spots, natural radioactivity is coming, again, hitting our bodies, and again, our body cells too busy fighting all those enemies. You enter the Bosnian pyramid tunnels, no negative cosmic radiations, no natural radioactivity, no enemies for our body. So our body cells can start doing their job. What is their job? To fix the problems in our body, to start the regeneration process, to start the self-healing process. So this way we came to the fourth aspect, the fourth round of the Bosnian Pyramid Project. Science, energy, spirituality, healing. And only if we apply all those forces, we can understand not only Bosnian pyramid site, but any other megalithic site so perfectly and carefully planned and executed in England and France and Egypt and Mexico and Tibet and Peru and elsewhere.
Fantastic. Now, I have to say, I've been forced to say, no. It's my girlfriend, you see, me and my girlfriend, We don't sit around talking about curtains and fabric things. We sit around talking about pyramids and ancient sites and who won this battle. And, you know, anyway, long story. But she has a theory that the perfect triangle that is represented by the three Bosnian pyramids of the sun, moon, and dragon are correspondent to the winter triangle of Sirius, Procyon, and Betelgeuse. That it's a pointer to our founding fathers. You know, it's like, you know, saying New York or New this or, you know, or New Jersey or something like that. It's like this is where we come from, and we're marking it by denoting our constellation here. Very recently, you may have heard of a young Canadian boy who discovered a Mayan city through the method of assuming that that's the case and mapping a star onto a star map onto the territory and finding that there's a village there. And lo and behold, he found it on Google Maps and discovered a new Mayan village. So there's definitely a connection between what is up in the sky and what is down on the ground if you're looking from the sky. Have you had any, how does that theory sit with you? The wolf baby theory of the winter triangle.
Now, as far as the Canadian 15-year-old bald boy, I think it's very nice to have such enthusiasts. Now, since I got my PhD in Mayan civilization, I know for sure that they were looking in the sky and they were laying out their towns and villages and cities. based on what they could see above their heads. Identical case in Peru, the pre-Incan civilizations. Now, in their holy valley, near the Urubamba River, you know, they were placing their, you know, villages. So we know that they were doing that. Now, you also mentioned the, you know, three stars. Probably the best known case is the three Giza pyramids, the Great Pyramid
indeed,
of Egypt,
yes.
Khafre and Meseren pyramids, and Robert Boal, and then later on Graham Hancock came with this theory that they match three stars or Orion belt, and so many books and so many lectures and popularity. However, you know, the third pyramid or the third star is always a little bit off. The better match would be the three stars or the star constellation of Cygnus. But this is if we look at it, you know, two-dimensional. This is what we can see on the sky. However, the distance between those stars, let's say in the case of Orion Belt stars, is 160 million light years. So you have to watch them three-dimensionally. And then it's very hard really to project that on the Giza plateau. In the case of Bosnian pyramids, the fact that we have perfect equilateral triangle is telling us about the intention of the builders. I did mention that it is very important from the sacral geometry standpoint. Now, to answer your question, do we have correlation of the night sky? Well, since we have at least 100 billion stars, it wouldn't be such a problem to find thousands of perfect triangles on the night sky. So I don't think that was the first reason or primary reason to lay them out like that. I think the first reason was once you have sacred geometry, you have the movement of the energy. The next question when it comes to Bosnian pyramids and the night sky is how many pyramids and which potential star constellation, you know, they might connect to. In order to answer that question, today we deal with the five pyramidal structures in Bosnia, which are named the Sun, Moon, Dragon, Earth, and Love. Most probably we have two more. One was discovered by our colleague from Egypt. Another one, the seventh one from our colleague from Zagreb, Croatia. If we have seven pyramids, then we might have some connection with the star system of Pleiades, because we have seven sisters. Now, it's not only seven sisters, there are two more, which they call father and mother, so in most cases it is nine. Brightest star of the Pleiades star system, but it seems that we have at least 104 stars in this particular star system. So my opinion is that it can be secondary reason or tertiary, but not the main reason why they are laid out that way.
Okay. So stars aside, I have another another crazy theory. Which takes us back to the energy source at the thing, and also pyramid phenomena. One of the phenomena that we have all seen with pyramids is that if you build a little cardboard pyramid or you make a metal one and you put some fruit or vegetable in it, it doesn't go off, but it eventually dehydrates. It literally mummifies.
Yes.
This is because the water is being converted to plasma, in my humble opinion, and being projected out of the top. And that's what pyramids do. And that's why they're surrounded by water, because they draw that water up into the mechanism and pump it up into the sky. I know that's a weird theory, but how would you think that might work?
Well, what we do know is that in 1950s, a German from Czechoslovakia, used to be that country, Czechoslovakia, he patented that the replica of the Great Pyramid of Egypt on much smaller scale. So if you have 52 degrees, and if you orient it east, west, north, south, can improve the molecular structure of the objects, in his particular case, of the razor blade. In 1950s, people were using razor blades. And in Czechoslovakia, which was under Soviet Union influence, everything was expensive, including those razor blades. So what he would do, after shaving, he would put the used razor blade inside the pyramid. Next morning, 24 hours later, that razor blade was like new. It was sharpened by some invisible force. Well, now we know that if you have the pyramid, perfect orientation, that it one of the energy movement is the circle inside, and if you are exposed to this pyramid energy, it does improve molecular structure. Later on, of course, people were experimenting. They were putting a glass of milk inside the pyramid and on the kitchen table. The one on the kitchen table would go bad in 3-4 days. The one inside the pyramid would remain fresh for a month. They were putting the raw meat in the pyramid and outside the pyramid. The one in the pyramid would last much longer and things like that. So obviously, if you are exposed to the pyramid energy, the good stuff is happening to objects, to people, to spaces. So I would say that there are so many benefits of the pyramid and the pyramid energy. We should be able to use so many. The next one, on the larger scale, if you build a network of pyramids, especially in the area where there are a lot of earthquakes, instead of one huge, catastrophic earthquake, you would get a series of smaller ones. That's an important thing. But then if you have a network of pyramids all around the planet, they could act as a protective shield for the planet, from inside, but also from the outside. And then the next thing, now we know that if you put seeds in the pyramid, they grow much quicker and much richer, 30% to 200%. And also another thing, there is an effect of the pyramid energy to humans. If you drink pyramid water, you become more calm, more peaceful. If you bring, let's say, prisoners, the vicinity of the pyramid energy or inside the tunnel or inside the pyramid, in 2 to 4 weeks, their level of violence will go down to 0%. So now imagine the world with the pyramids everywhere, emitting positive energy, developing our spiritual senses, improving our aura field, getting us be self-healed from any potential disease. It would be much better, much more friendlier, much more peaceful, and the world filled with love.
Energy. Now, here's an interesting thing. Another thing connected with music.
Yes.
Is that the note of A, which when you talk with on in terms of energy healing, corresponds with the note of the heart, and in the esoteric form it's the second ray, but the note of A, in our modern music is at 440 cycles a second, and there is a trend to bring back the more traditional Plato based 432. Now, I posted a number in the chat room here, or in the chat room between you and I. And that's my estimate of the exact frequency that would have been measured. Because that's the traditional, that's the multiple of A. So here's the interesting data point, is that when you bang the sarcophagus, the so-called sarcophagus in the Great Pyramid, the frequency that comes out is about 108 cycles a second. It's also the frequency of the scarab beetle. And it's also, the note of A. It's all the same resonance. And if you resonate one frequency, it causes the other to sing. So if your pyramid and the granite above, in the chambers above are tuned to an A and you make a little A, then the thing will start singing. So number one, what has made the Bosnian pyramid start singing? Or is it because you've done the kind of, what's that, Raiders of the Lost Ark? You know, you somebody moved the rock and the thing flooded and the thing started going again. You know, it's like somebody was leaning on the wall and they leaned on the switch and it switched on and like it's not stopped since then. Is that the scenario that you've had?
Yeah, well, in those pyramid tunnels, we have a lot of blocks. We analyze them. They are ceramic blocks. So they are artificially made with the natural materials, with a lot of quartz crystal, the material called muscovite. Some people are saying that the muscovite actually slow down the aging process. But anyway, a lot of blocks, different sizes, and using a number of dowsers from different countries, we realize that there are always underground water flows. Now, water, of course, releases negative energy for us. If we have a bed above the water flow, we're going to get sick in 5, 10, 15 years. So, by placing those ceramic blocks above the water flows, somehow they neutralize negative energy, transforming it to positive energy. And one day, 6 years ago, we had a group of volunteers working in the tunnels, and they were getting all this filler material out, clearing the new tunnels. And one place, the tunnel was rather narrow. So in order not to damage it with the wheelbarrows, they moved the block, which was about 700-800 pounds. They moved it for 7 feet. The next morning, they came to the tunnels. That section of the tunnel was flooded. So obviously they did something to the system, to this particular section. And after that we learned never, never to move anything from the original place. And now to answer your question about frequencies, I think that every site, megalithic site, every pyramid, you know, they work at different frequencies. They have their own frequencies. For example, When we were still allowed to climb the pyramid in Chichen Itza, the Kukulkan pyramid, when you were climbing the pyramids, you could hear the echo. But it was not the echo of your steps. It was different. It was this pitch. It was higher pitch. It was like it was a bird singing. And now there is a legend that every time you climb the Kukulkan pyramid, that you actually reproduce the sound of the holy bird Quetzal. Now, Quetzal is a symbol for the Mayan of their ancestors, or the semi-gods who came and seeded that area. Now, there was an experiment done with the Quetzal, which was found in a natural habitat in Mexico, of his sound, and the sound the Quetzal was producing was between 800 and 1200 hertz. And then what was measured was the frequency of the steps, the echo that we can hear. Two elements affect this frequency. One is the width of the step, and the other one is the height of the step. Now, from the width of the step, the frequency that we were getting, it was 833 hertz, almost identical like 800 hertz from the bird. And from the height of the steps, we were getting 1310 hertz. And that's exactly what this bird was producing. Now, when you look at the width of the step, it is, you know, rather narrow. It's a small step, which is logical because the Mayans were supposedly about 5 feet in height. But when you look at the height of the step, it is three times of what it was supposed to be. It tells us that the Mayans intentionally built the stairways, the way to produce this particular frequency range from 800 to 1300 Hertz. Every time you climb this pyramid in the Mayan world, it was like you are opening the recorded message and you are inviting or you are communicating with the pyramid builders.
I'm very curious if three people were to step on it at the same time, because, you know, I'm still a firm believer in that the actual real people 15 feet tall were involved in this thing, and that's the reason that they have these huge steps, is not only because they produce the appropriate frequency, but they're actually built for giants to walk up and not for just regular people. But that's, again, my weird opinion, and we don't have to go there. Where are we? We're all very excited here by your information. We've got about 15 minutes left, and
so we can listen to some country music.
No, I'd rather listen to your stories.
What we didn't cover.
Yes. Plasma is one of the things that I want to bring up. I mean, have you worked with any plasma engineers in terms of,
You know what? Yeah. Yes.
That's
exactly what came to my mind. There is this brilliant electrical engineer called Dan Winter.
I've spoken to Dan on my show. Brilliant. Go ahead.
Excellent. American living in southern France. I met him in Barcelona last summer. I had my talk, and I didn't mention those healing aspects of Bosnian Pyramid Project. He approached me after the lecture, and he said, hey, listen, I know exactly why those pyramids are healing devices. And he said, I can mathematically prove that. There is a connection between the sacred geometry, golden mean, all these frequencies, and you are getting to the plasma rejuvenation fields. And a matter of fact, he had developed and explained, and together with some of his friends, a plasma tubes that produce plasma rejuvenation fields. Even though it is prototyped, it seems that it can shrink the tumor because you are getting the best energy fields. And I decided to buy his machine, so later in June of 2016, we're going to have those machines on site in Bosnia, Bosnian Pyramid sites in Visoko, and we're going to start offering a really rather wide range of new medicine healing instruments. One, of course, the most powerful, being the Bosnian Pyramid Energy through the tunnels, the plasma tubes with the rejuvenation fields also, the negative ionization, very high concentration produced by the pyramids also. Then we purchased some lands and we are building some megalithic circles. And, you know, we got one of the spots through help of Sue Jones. She is an energy healer and archaeologist from England. She can see energies. She told us this is the most powerful place. We built megalithic circles. And then we measured aura before we enter the circle. The aura is 5 to 10 meters, which is 15 to 30 feet. After people came back from this circle, the aura was reaching 150 feet. So all kinds of interesting stuff. And I would say the ancients were smart. I mean, they were not producing artificial materials. I mentioned plastic or technology that we have today. Or the frequencies, 220 in Europe, 110 in the US, which is so bad for our brains. It, you know, really kills ourselves and we need more time to process information. When you add the chemtrails and the poison food and the water and, you know, we are becoming all very aggressive zombies. And that's not the idea the Creator had about us. We had to be free people with our fully developed abilities. And Pyramid Energy is helping a lot. Improved Aura Field is helping a lot. So really, at this point, since we are, it seems, coming to the end, you know, I want to invite people to come to Bosnia, to experience Bosnia in the other way. Because, you know, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, there was a war in Bosnia. People remember that. CNN, all these terrible things, and war criminals, negative news. We are changing that. The Bosnian Pyramid Project is bringing tourism, and the volunteers, and Pyramid Energy, and the positive stuff. I even named one of the pyramids, the Pyramid of Love. And you know, the archaeologists today, they've been attacking me aggressively for so many reasons. And one of the reasons is, why did you give such romantic name to the pyramid? What do you mean, Pyramid of Love? Why didn't you name it Structure Number 5? Well, they don't realize that words are powerful. And the most powerful word is love. You assign the love word to huge structure. The idea is to color the valley with the love. And this is the type of the messages we want to send out to the world.
So, Dr. Sam, are you creating a community there? Is it becoming more like, you're getting roads that are being built from the airport, which is quite close, and railway links are coming in? Is it becoming more accessible to the outside world?
There is infrastructure there. The matter of fact, the Bosnian Pyramid site is just 30 minutes from the international airport in Sarajevo. Sarajevo is the capital of Bosnia, and for example, when I fly there, I go from Houston to Istanbul and Sarajevo, two flights. Or you can go Chicago, Munich, Sarajevo. Or you can go Dallas, Amsterdam, Zagreb, Sarajevo. So, 10, 15 hours, you are there. That's no problem. Beautiful country. I mean, beautiful green lakes, rivers, mountains. We even have part of the Adriatic Sea. It's a beautiful country. Now, we've had so many people from 100 countries. Every year, tens of thousands of people come to Bosnia, especially in the period April, November. We have a group organizers from Germany, Austria, Norway, US, UK, Kuwait, Singapore, so many countries, bringing groups 1, 2, 5 times a year. You know, like so many people are taking people, to Egypt, to Peru, to Mexico. Now Bosnia is a hot spot because here we have living pyramids that actually emit the energy. You can measure it and you can feel it. So it works on several different levels. People come there, and Bosnia is of course cheaper than Germany or UK or even Egypt. Bosnia is cheap. People are very nice and pleasant. So, it's very easy to come. Now, our foundation really funds, all our archaeological activities only through the, tourism. We don't have a dollar from the government, from municipality, from the regional government, from state government. So we don't have that. And we said, fine, we don't need that. So, what we are doing, people come, they pay a little entrance fee, or we organize travel packages of two different kinds. The first one is, I host 3 groups a year. The first one, Spring Equinox Tour, which is in March, the second one in June, and the next month, as a matter of fact, I'm going to have one group from June 14 to 21. The groups are usually 50 to 100 people. They come from so many different countries, mostly Western Europe and America. And I'm going to have one in September. So what we do, every day we go to one pyramid site. For example, the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun. It's a very powerful male energy. Next day we go to the Moon Pyramid. It's a female energy. Then we go to the Tumulus, this conical artificial hill. You have also energy beam going to the top over there. Every day, we go to the tunnels, first time for scientific reason, second time for spiritual, the third time for the healing properties of the tunnels, and the evenings we have conferences. So for 7 days, people are immersed. They bath in the pyramid energy. So that's one possibility. People want to learn more. The website is bosnianpyramid.org. bosnianpyramid.org. Now, this is first one. If people want to come as visitors, tourists, if they are a little bit older, whatever, they can. People come from 8 to 84 years. The second possibility, I didn't mention volunteers. We are the only one who actually give opportunity to people, young, old, mature, to come and be an active part of this project. They can be archaeologists, geologists, anthropologists, but also they can be students, they can be whatever, pensioners. It doesn't really matter. They work under our supervision. We have our archaeologists or geologists on site. We explain them how to work, what to do, and they become part of the action. So we have we offer this 11-day program. We call it Adventures on Bosnian Pyramids with Volunteering. Everything is fully organized. We go and pick up people from the airport, take them to the hotel, 3- or 4-star hotel. We take them to volunteer for 5-6 days, 3-4 days. We show them Bosnia, the capital city, the waterfalls, some medieval fortresses and so on. So in 10-11 days, they got the full understanding of this beautiful country. And they were active part of this history changing project. So 10, 15, 20 years from now, they can tell their kids, hey, I was there in the beginning. I was part of the project. I discovered organic material, or I discovered the artifact. And it's always filled with the good, positive energy, like-minded people, ready to share, with a smile on their faces. And again, more info, bosnianpyramid.org.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Dr. Sam. I've been looking forward to speaking to you for a long time, so... It's good to have you on the show. Maybe we can come and, come on, you can come back on and, explore other aspects. Hussein Ahmed sends his regards, if you remember him. He comes from Northern Scotland. Anyway, thank you very much. This has been Journeys with JP. Stay tuned to Wolf Spirit Radio. Good night, everybody, and thank you very much to Freedom Slips, a listener-supported station. Please click the support button.